Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Always up to something good. Always seeking to be a blessing. And those that love Him do the same thing. On our level, we do the same thing that God does. Those that walk in love do the same thing that God does. The love of God defines a person for who they are. The Holy Spirit is attracted to those who walk in love. He can relate to people that love people easiest. The Holy Spirit can bless those that walk in love. Christians that walk in love can do more for the kingdom than anyone else. Because when love is the motivation, it's easy to go forward. It's easy to contend for the faith. And there's a lot of people don't teach about contending for the faith. One scripture said that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. We're taking the kingdom that Satan stole from him. We preach the gospel anyway. When you read the book of Acts, you see how religious men and sometimes political men tried to stop the gospel before it got started. They tried to kill Jesus. They tried to kill some of the apostles. They did kill John. Not John, but James. They killed James, and they tried to kill Peter. The angels let Peter out of jail before Herod could kill him. The church has always, from the beginning, been under attack. Our Savior conquered the world system as a man. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man. Understand that. He came in this world, lived the life of God, taught people the ways of the Father, followed the Father, laid his life down, obeying the Father, rose again and justified everybody. But it only applies when you believe. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. He sent his apostles out in Luke chapter 10 and Luke 19. But he sent them out and they came back and said, even the devils are subject to us. They found out that the devils were subject to him. He said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, it's a small thing to have authority over Satan. Satan is not what he claims to be. He is not equal to God. He is a liar. He was just an angel that went rogue. He was just an angel that went rogue. And he caused a lot of problems. And a lot of angels followed him. But thanks be to God, Jesus put a stop to it. The Lord loves us, and He gave us full authority over Satan and everything that he stands for. It's very important that we walk in the ways of God. It's very important that we do what He say do. Because God loves us. And He gave us full authority and the right to use his name. When Jesus sent his disciples out, they came back after they had conquered Satan. They came back rejoicing. They didn't realize they had authority over Satan until they had to use it. And they did. Now the same thing happens to us. The Lord designed us to win and not lose. Think about this. If you have full authority over Satan, how can he stop you? Let me say that again. If you have full authority over Satan, how can he stop you? If you have full authority over Satan and the love of God in your heart, there's no way he can stop you. Because the love of God will motivate you to do whatever it is necessary that you need to do. In Luke 10, verse 19 says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But you have to say something. That's, faith is activated by your words. You have to believe what the Lord said here, and you have to speak it. And well, Christians die by the hand of the enemy. They don't know they have authority over the enemy. They tried to kill Jesus. He walked straight through the middle of the crowd. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And every Christian don't know these things. And people would die because of a lack of knowledge. Last week we said, your lack of knowledge is the enemy's tool. The word of God is here to educate us. A lot of people died trying to publish it into the English language and the German language and every language. But the Lord had people that loved people, and they made sure that it was done. And people ignore the word of God to their own demise. The enemy operates in darkness, not light. Light exposes him for what it is, for what he is. And the word of God will give you a heavenly education. That's the best education you can get. It's greater than any other education there is. So last week we ended talking about going in God's presence. Learning to do things God's way. In order to be a spokesman for him, in order to represent him, you got to know him for you. You got to know him. I urge every Christian to go in the Lord's presence through praise and worship and studying the word and ask him questions. Get to know him. See, when you praising God and you're in his presence, if you're doing all the talking, you're not doing much learning. When you praise him and he comes around and you sense his presence, be quiet in your spirit. Forget about all your troubles. Focus on him. Ask him what he has to say. And whatever he tells you while you're in his presence, regard it. Sometimes you'll sense things. Sometimes you'll know things. If he say a few phrases, you will understand volumes of information. If he say a few words, you will understand paragraphs of information. That's how you get to know the Lord. And primarily we get to know him by trusting his word. And remember, you can't just trust the good things, the things you want. You have to trust the dangerous things that he say. You have to trust the things that you don't know, that you haven't approved of. You have to trust all of it because it all works together. A lot of preachers don't teach you got authority over the devil. They leave that alone because they're scared of him, or they hadn't been taught themselves, or they're not sure about it. See, in the 1800s, there was all kind of teaching going on. People say, well, some of that went out with the apostles. There's no scripture reference for that. It's not true. The life of God is for us. Now, from the time that they wrote the book of Acts to Jesus come back, whatever they did, we need to be doing it and more so. And when that's not happening, something's wrong with the way you believe. If you can't get people healed, there's something wrong with the way you believe, because God still heals. But how many people do you know go in his presence and seek him out and pray? There was a man named Simon. He was looking for the Savior to come, to be born. And there was a widow woman that did the same thing. I forgot her name. But she was she had been married, then her husband had died, but she would go to the temple every day and worship God. And she knew that the baby was coming too. Now, she knew that he would come as a baby. There's two witnesses that knew he was coming as a child. Now, they learn these things by going in the Lord's presence, just like you got to do. You can't let the troubles of this world consume your life. You have to, the Word of God can help you combat it. Study all the scriptures you can find to combat your problem. And also study the Word of God to get to know God for who he is. You're going to have to take time and study for yourself. People heard about the Exodus, how Israel left Egypt, how Pharaoh got destroyed. Everybody need to read those accounts for themselves and study how the Lord spoke to Moses and what he said and how he dealt with problems and how his love was manifest even in judgment. You're going to have to read the Psalms for yourself. You got to read the stories of David and all the wonderful men of God, Gideon, all the things that they went through, all the troubles they had. How did God help them out? This is how you get to know him. We have too many false concepts of who God is and how God is. And you can't live with false concepts. Satan will knock you out. You got authority over him and you don't even know it. You can win and you still don't know it. It's easy to conquer your problems and you still don't know that. And there's no reason for it. The Word of God will help you train so that you can overcome in the last days, which are now. Now, we're still dealing with end times. These are the end times. But in the end times, you got to know how to deal with life. Now, the last few broadcasts, we dealt with the parable of the tares of the field, the tares and the wheat. Now, the Lord, he's going to separate the tares from the wheat. People sort themselves. He's just going to gather them up and do a great work through his people, those that love him. I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know how obvious it's going to be, because God deals with the heart. When the great revival happens, I really don't know what it'll look like. Because people get saved and start doing God's works individually. See, it's going to be different than anything you've ever seen. If you want to be part of it, you got to just obey God. Don't look for big masses of people. You're going to have to just be on point yourself. See, God do things in a great, he thinks of everything. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, it's going to work. Now, the Lord gave me this website. He gave me the title to it and everything, the domain name and everything. NewLivingLetters.com. Never forget that. NewLivingLetters.com. I'm putting all these broadcasts on that radio station. And those who are faithful and hungry, who go on that website, the broadcast is not just 15 minutes long, but it's almost 30 minutes long. On the website, they're almost 30 minutes long. But on the radio, it's 15 minutes. But it continues. There's more to it because God wants to feed those that want to know him. So newlivingletters.com. And, you know, God wants to be a blessing to his people. If you want to be a blessing to this ministry, you can. Send any proceeds you want to donate to Living Letter Ministries, 300 Mulberry Road, Birmingham, Alabama, 35214. That's Living Letter Ministries, 300 Mulberry Road, Birmingham, Alabama, 35214. And share the website with others. I put a writing on there called definitions. These are definitions that God gave me over a 30-year period. And it's on the Living Letters page. But there's an audio page on the website too. And everything is free. Jesus said, you're free to receive, freely give. That's what I do. I don't want to sell my books and materials. I put them on the web, and those who are faithful will find them. They'll get the Holy Spirit will guide them there. And I'm telling you about it, so let all your people know. Let your cousins, distant cousins, and other. See, people can listen to the broadcast by the web in other states, even around the world. NewLivingLetters.com. Now continue. In the presence of the Lord, there are so many things you'll learn that you can't learn on your own. In the presence of the Lord, there are so many things you will learn that you cannot learn on your own. That's what David did. That's what set David apart. Other people who, he contended for the faith. Some people contended for pride. Saul tried to kill David, just like the Pharisees tried to kill Jesus. Saul wanted position. David wanted obedience. He wanted to be a blessing. He wanted Israel to learn about the God that he learned about. He wanted the people of God to know him, and he knew that there were not very many people that would do that. He was the only one. There were very few people that would do what David did. Some people will go in his presence and learn, but they don't have any fight in them. See, David had more than just a love for God. He had fight in him. And if you're going to survive the end times and come out with flying colors and being a blessing to people, you got to have some fight in you. Some people got fight in them, but they don't have the love of God. See, fill your heart with the word of God. Learn, just receive it all. And depend on the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. I was doing, at one of my friend's funerals, the Lord had me to say something after I read the scripture. I read a scripture, and then the Lord had me to say that our first authority figures shape the way we see God. The way we see God, I'm going to say it again. The way we see God is shaped by our first authority figures, usually the parents, preachers, teachers. They shape the way we see God. Whoever raised us, our grandmother, whoever raised us, our parents, whatever they did, that shapes the way you see God. If your parents had money, but they were stingy, It's harder for that person raised by stingy parents to believe God is generous. They don't know him. So if they get saved, they still see God like they saw their parents. And they expect God to behave exactly like their parents did. If their parents were generous, it's easier for that child to believe that God is generous. Parents that are strict, they think God is very strict. And he is about some things. Things that'll get you dead. He's strict about it. Sin will kill you. Parents that are liberal, let their children do anything. They think God will let them do anything in the kingdom of God. But the word of God will show you exactly how he is. And we're all made in his image. But we make choices. So don't let the choices that others make shape the way you see God. You're going to have to trust him on your own. And you're going to have to learn who he is in his presence. He's revealed. The Holy Spirit, all the dedication that you take to learn God's word, the Holy Spirit will come back at strategic times and open those words up to you, especially if you're looking for him to do it. If you seek him about some things. One night he woke me up and gave me what became a book, The Spirit of Egypt. He told me things about Egypt that I couldn't learn on my own. He knew I wanted to know it. And he gave me scripture references, and some of them I didn't even realize were there. Don't discount the Holy Spirit. Don't count him out. He has so much to say and share with us. He loves us. He's true to us. He's the Spirit of truth. Now, the Holy Spirit, he is attracted to truth, just like he is attracted to love. He can relate to truth. When you study the Word of God and receive it how it is, you're giving him something to work with. He can relate to the truth of God's word. He's not the spirit of lies like Satan is. He's not the spirit of deception like the enemy is. He's not the spirit of compromise like man is. He's the spirit of God, the spirit of truth, the spirit of love. He has counsel and might, wisdom, knowledge. He's the Spirit of God. Seven attributes in Isaiah chapter 11. And that's who comes to guide you into all truth. And everything he say makes sense. See, when the Lord calls a man to the ministry or a woman to the ministry, if they seek God, they're called. They have an anointing. They can do some things that they couldn't do before. When they start teaching, things start coming to them. That's an anointing. They have God's ability to do that. But if they seek God and learn his ways and take time to get to know him, they will be guided. And as they're faithful, they'll start winning in life. And then the Lord would choose them for a specific work. But if they do it like other people do it, and they look for man to put them in a position, they'll never be chosen until they get their mind right. What the Lord gives you to do specifically is what I'm getting at. And then if you're faithful with it, he'll give you more. He'll enable you. He'll trust you with more people, with more souls. That's just the way it works. He doesn't do dumb stuff like men do. Now, men, they'll hire the highest bidder. They'll hire who votes for them the most. They do wishy-washy favors for people, but not God. If you don't draw near to him, don't expect him to draw near to you. Get rid of rebellion. But in his presence, you'll be known for who you are. You'll be known as you're known. And he will say things and help you, and you'll see things in a greater way. As you obey him, you'll see him move in your life. You'll see things change. Things that used to be a big problem, you'll see yourself conquering. You will realize your dreams. You get to know him for who he is. There are things that I'm believing God for. And see, faith, the way faith works, faith says, I got it now. Faith is always now. When you believe in God for something, it's done. It's in operation. Whatever has to be set in motion is set in motion. Nothing on the earth can stop it. It doesn't always get finished in a short period of time. But as long as you believe, it's still in operation. It's still forming. First the ear. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. That's how Jesus said faith works. It's from the time the farmer planted the seed in the soil, he believed that he had corn. He didn't stand there and watch it all day. He planted the whole field. And then he waters it because he expects it to come forth. He's in faith. If he start doubting, he'll stop watering it, taking care of it. He might even plant something else in place of it. But farmers don't do dumb stuff like that and then have a crop. They do things that's right. I'm believing God for my daughter. She was born, she has special needs. She's not, she doesn't talk. But she's learning words. From the time that I noticed that things were wrong, I believed God for her. She was born prematurely. And she had a hole in her heart. And I told when my wife came home, I told her what the doctor said. Doctor said that the hole's too big, they'll have to operate. And my wife started crying. I said, but we're going to pray. I said, this is not one of those times God might heal her. She might get healed. She might not. We'll understand. No, the hole's going to close and she won't have to get a heart operation and have heart trouble the rest of her life. We believe God. And by the time she gained 4 pounds, she weighed 1 pound 7 ounces. By the time she got 4 pounds, the hole had closed. And the same doctor said, the hole closed up. There's no need to operate, and there's no need for another appointment. But while we were praying, I said, Lord, don't just close the hole in the heart. Satan started this. I said, I want you to make her athletic. And let me tell you, the girl is very athletic. I had to take my entertainment center out of my house because when she was about 3 years old, she climbed it and took a nap on top of it. I had to hang my TV from the ceiling. See, the faith looks to God. And all the other challenges that she has, I'm believing God for full restoration. But nobody does that, preacher. I'm doing it. And she has full restoration. My faith says so. Some things you just got to declare and you got to mean it. And in the presence of God, you learn to do these things. And you move mountains to where you want them to be. I love it. It works. I'm watching it works. She can say over 100 words now. But we're not done yet. Faith is still in full force. Heaven is still working on the situation. Yeah, but God can do it in a few minutes. Yes, he can. But he does things according to the measure of our faith. So it is unto us. I just keep working on my faith. And I watch her progress. God is good, folks. He don't let nobody down. See things through. Don't be impatient with time. Use time to do God's will. Be at peace. And be patient. And whatever you do, stay in faith. Now, we're out of time. The Lord is not. Till next time, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.